Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I have updates to give you regarding our project, our open letter to Dr. James Dobson, that are rather extraordinary. I received an email just a couple hours ago, from Moscow, one of the largest pro-life organizations in the world, has agreed to be part of the effort and, in fact, asked to become a signer to the letter to Dr. Dobson. And so the list of ministries who are condemning this partial birth abortion ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court is growing. The list of ministries and leaders condemning that ruling as evil is growing, and that contrasts with the list of ministries that have been praising the ruling as an answer, a gift from God, a cause of celebration, a pro-life ruling, pro-life court, a pro-life decision. And so there's quite a disagreement in the pro-life movement. So I'd like to read to you the list of ministries who are condemning the ruling and those who are signing this open letter to Dr. Dobson. I will do that, and I'll remind you of the ministries that are celebrating the ruling, which is, of course, a grave tragedy, since the ruling itself is unspeakably wicked. It is evil. And when you call evil good and good evil, you are doing wrong. Even if you think it's to build momentum for the pro-life movement, you do not call evil good for any reason, because the consequences of that are devastating. And when you redefine what it means to be pro-life by calling these justices pro-life, when they wrote an instruction manual, a partial birth abortion instruction manual on how to kill babies by delivering them up to the navel, and then you could kill them, and they describe the various ways the abortionist could kill that same baby that you were told for years that this ban would save. And it has been known for years that this ban did not have the authority to save not one baby's life. It has been known for years that this ban, and here at Bob Enyart Live, we've been shouting it from the housetops. At Operation Save America, Flip Benham has been shouting it from the mountaintops, that this ban does not have the authority to save a single child's life, and this ban cannot be used. It cannot be used to enforce this ban to stop one single abortion, not one. This has been a fundraising effort and a distraction while 20 million children have died because the pro-life movement has gone astray. It's lost its focus. So the email I received today, oh, and by the way, yesterday we read to you a fundraising letter put out by Troy Newman of Operation Rescue West out of Wichita, and he is just blatantly misinforming his supporters about what this ruling is, and he's using that as a fundraising effort, which is how the partial birth abortion ban has been used for now 15 years since it became a major news story. Okay, so yesterday we read to you from this fundraising letter. Today I have a news report regarding the pro-life organizations that are having a press conference today outside of the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., demanding that the federal government enforce the ban. And, of course, that is all hype because there is nothing in this ban. It's not even a ban. It's an instruction manual. This is a naval partial birth abortion instruction manual on how to partially deliver the baby halfway and then kill it and be in compliance with this mere regulation. So we'll get to these issues. And also, we haven't taken calls in a while because of the gravity of this, but I'll give out our phone number for the first time in, what, a week or so. 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. Okay. The latest ministry to ask to be included in the letter is Well, it's one of the largest pro-life ministries in the world. It is Human Life International, and their president, Father Tom Utener. And this is an absolutely extraordinary development that Human Life International has the courage and the conviction to ask to be included on this letter. And I tell you, it absolutely humbled us when we got this email. Father Utener, he's the president of this organization. And they have, what do they have? They have satellite offices. They have 90 satellite offices in 75 countries around the world. And as such, they are undoubtedly the largest international pro-life organization in the world. And, I mean, that's their primary focus, fighting for the sanctity of human life. They're pro-woman, pro-family, pro-life. And Tom Utener has been traveling. He's in Europe on a trip to Poland and Russia. And he's in Moscow. And we thought it would be difficult, if not impossible, to get to him. And thanks to some of the other signers of this letter, he contacted us earlier today asking to be included in the letter. And so we, of course, were humbled, we're grateful, and we responded back and said that we will be including Human Life International in the list of the organizations that are condemning this ruling as evil. But the list of signers of the letter, those who are actually signing the letter, is a much shorter list, and we just wanted to make it clear to the Reverend Tom Utener that Human Life International would go on the list of those condemning the ruling, not as one of the signers. And just about less than 2 hours ago, I got an email back from Father Utener from Moscow saying, "Bob, thank you very much. Thanks for the clarification, but we would like to be a signer to the letter. Not only do we condemn the ruling, we would like to be a signer to the letter." And this letter is devastating. It is absolutely devastating, so that it takes enormous courage to be involved with this at all, let alone to be a signer. And so we're humbled by his courage and determination not to compromise on God's enduring command, "Do not murder," and to refocus the pro-life movement. That the pro-life movement would have a renewed vision and a renewed commitment to God's enduring command, "Do not murder." And the Bible says you can't put new wine in old wineskins. And so there are some, like the fundraising letter that I read yesterday, there are some organizations, very possibly, and leaders who will say, "No, we are committed. This is a pro-life ruling from pro-life justices and a pro-life court." And the fact that it is a partial birth abortion manual describing that you can pull the baby out to the navel and rip his legs off to kill him, that's beside the point. This is a victory. We've been fighting for this for 15 years, and we're going to call this a victory to our supporters. We're going to call this pro-life. We're going to call them pro-life judges, dangerously redefining what it means to be pro-life. And horrendously redefining what it means to be good, or to be a victory, or to be something worth celebrating. This is utterly evil. When you hear these organizations try to defend this ruling, I want you to notice something. They'll do two things. One is they will pull out quotes from the ruling and say, "Look, this ruling says that the government could use its authority to show profound respect for the life within the mother." And that will be basically misinformation. They will be trying to mislead you, because the ruling has those words, but they are being regurgitated. They're being quoted from the U.S. Supreme Court's previous ruling 15 years ago, a case called Casey. And during the 15 years since the U.S. Supreme Court included those words in their ruling, that the government can show profound respect for the life within the mother, while we have been showing profound respect for the life within the mother, 20 million children have been slaughtered, and the pro-life movement has been detoured to work for a ban that has consumed our efforts, our attention, our sound bites, our candidates' attention, being consumed with bringing about a ban that did not have the authority to save even a single child's life. And so what needs to happen, as the old wine pro-life ministries, as they quote this ruling and they say, well, look at this. This ruling says the government could use its authority to show profound respect for the life within the mother. You can respond. That's been in Supreme Court rulings for 15 years. That's nothing new. The government shows profound respect for a cemetery. The government has laws that require showing respect for a dead body. If you mutilate a dead body, then you could be charged with a crime. So it is nothing toward the personhood and the God-given right to the child that this ruling says the government could show respect for the life within the mother. It's nothing. They show respect for a dead body. It's nothing to do with personhood. So that's the one thing they will do. They will quote from the ruling and misrepresent the ruling to make you think there's a victory in there. There is not. There's nothing righteous in there. There's nothing good. There is only lies, brutality, and death in this ruling. That's all there is. The second thing they will do is they will give you lawyer speak and make you think that there's something in this ruling, some kind of a legal principle that you can't possibly understand as a layman. You won't possibly be able to understand what they're talking about, but trust us, this is a good ruling because of this legal precedent that's in there. And that will also be a misrepresentation, because this ruling goes out of its way to glorify Roe v. Wade and to further entrench. Justice Kennedy wrote this ruling in such a way that he did everything he could possibly do to enshrine Roe v. Wade further into U.S. jurisprudence. That's what this ruling does. Okay, so we're going to go to the phones. I'll take a call, and then I'm going to read to you this list of ministries condemning the ruling, those who are now signing this open letter to Dr. James Dobson, and the ministries who are celebrating this evil ruling. Okay, but first let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278. Oh, and by the way, we could still use support in running this open letter, not only as a full-page ad in a newspaper in Colorado and a full-page ad in a major conservative magazine and on the internet, but elsewhere. So if you'd like to support this effort, feel free to go to our website, kgov.com, or call us at 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. And one person who's been moved by this effort said, I want to pay to run this as an ad in a publication that I choose. So we don't need the money to go through us at all. In fact, if you were to call and say, my hometown newspaper, I want to run this ad, and I paid for the time, please provide them with the copy, we will do that. Okay, let's go to Colorado Springs. Jonathan, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Oh, hello. Good to talk to you, Pastor Inert.
Thank you, sir.
I just wondered, did you hear the recent comments by Rick Warren about, he was in a conference down here in Colorado Springs, and he said basically that Christians really didn't have a right to speak out against abortion and homosexual issues because we haven't done enough to help the poor and the orphans?
Yeah, that Jonathan, I haven't heard that specifically. So if you mind, I'd rather address that without saying it has anything to do with Rick Warren.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because you're a caller, and I haven't seen that specifically. I have no reason to doubt what you've said. But any Christian leader who would say that is mocking God. Because you don't say that if the Germans want to kill the Jews, if men want to molest children, we have no right to intervene or to speak out against it because we haven't given enough welfare to the poor. America has given trillions of dollars of money to the poor domestically and around the world. Trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
And most of that is destructive because it's very difficult to help people with money. You help people with a hand up, with love, spending time with them, inviting them to your home for dinner, giving them counsel, leading them to the Lord. That's how you help people. You give people money and you often hurt them.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Jonathan?
No, that's it. I appreciate your ministry. I listen to you all the time, man.
Well, God bless you. Thank you, Jonathan.
Bless you, too.
Appreciate that call. 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Okay. The ministry celebrating the ruling, you know who they are. They're mostly the national Right to Life groups, the state Right to Life groups, except for Colorado Right to Life. Look to Colorado. Look to Colorado for the renewed vision and commitment to God's enduring command, do not murder. Americans United for Life, Concerned Women for America, Christian Coalition, the AFA, D. James Kennedy's Ministry, J. Seculo, and the ACLJ, and of course Focus on the Family, they have all been celebrating the ruling, and we have sound bites, excerpts from them, which are flat out false, just simply false. Misrepresentations, false. Leaders condemning the ruling. This is a wicked ruling because it actually provides instructions on how to kill late-term babies. You partially deliver them halfway, and then you could rip their legs off. You could kill them however you want. You could even do a textbook partial birth abortion under different circumstances, according to this ruling. Okay? But leaders condemning this partial birth abortion ruling, this Gonzalez v. Carhart evil decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, Ambassador Alan Keyes of Renew America, Judy Brown of American Life League, Flip Benham of Operation Rescue, Operation Save America, the Professor Charles Rice of Notre Dame Law School. By the way, Judy Brown, Charles Rice, stalwarts of the pro-life movement. John Archibald, founding board member of National Right to Life, Americans United for Life, and Colorado Right to Life. He was there 40 years ago when a Republican governor of Colorado signed the first pro-abortion law in the nation. Jim Rudd, editor of Covenant News. John Lofton, The American View. Dr. Patrick Johnson, founder of ProLifePhysicians.org. Chuck Baldwin, Crossroad Baptist Church. Matt Truella, Missionaries to the Preborn. Steve Curtis, founder of LifeCommercials.com. Ken and Joe Scott, Pro-Life Colorado. Gino Geraci, pastor, Calvary Chapel, South Denver. That's a Denver megachurch. The Reverend Tom Utener, president, Human Life International. By the way, Father Paul Marx is the founder of Human Life International. Now 90 offices in 75 countries around the world. Pro-life missionaries to the world is the positioning statement of their organization. Human Life International, pro-life missionaries to the world. And now their president, now that Paul Marx has passed on, the Reverend Tom Utener, Human Life International, and Brian Rohrbaugh, president, Colorado Right to Life. They are the leaders condemning this ruling. And then the signers of the letter are, the letter is signed by, and these names were also in that list, but these are the people signing the letter. This is signed by this open letter to Dr. Dobson, that Dr. Dobson thanks God for this brutally wicked ruling. The High Court creates a new partial birth abortion technique. Focus on the Family is putting out false information about this ruling. The signers of this letter are Brian Rohrbaugh, President, Colorado Right to Life, the Reverend Tom Utener, President, Human Life International, the Reverend Flip Benham, National Director, Operation Rescue, Operation Save America, Bob Enyart, Pastor, Denver Bible Church, and Judy Brown, President, American Life League. They are the signers. Now, let's go Let's go to Denver, Colorado, and Benjamin. Welcome to Bubba Neart Live. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, Mr. Neart. How are you today?
Doing well, sir.
Good, good. I'm 17 years old, and I was at my house yesterday, and I was watching the Fox Republican debate last night in South Carolina, and I wanted to see what your thoughts were on Congressman Ron Paul's polls last night that were shown.
Well, I did not have a chance to view the debate. The only good thing I heard out of the debate were comments by Senator Brownback. And so could we address that first, and then we'll talk about Ron Paul?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because Ron Paul, he has a history with the Libertarian Party. Is that right? You recall that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and of course, the Libertarian Party has been committed since its inception to fully legalized abortion, homosexuality, decriminalizing of recreational drugs like crack cocaine, heroin, and so on. And the Libertarian Party looks like conservative, but it is actually grotesquely immoral. It advocates the complete decriminalization of all laws, virtually all laws, against sexual immorality. And so you could think of them as grotesquely immoral conservatives, if there could be such a bizarre creature. A grotesquely immoral conservative. That's the Libertarian Party. And when Republicans run for their nomination for their party, for president, or even lesser offices, here's what happens. You have a primary, and they campaign far to the right. They campaign, even the most godless among them find God. They have their election cycle revival, their personal revival. They repent. They publicly repent, like Newt Gingrich on Focus on the Family Radio, what, 6 weeks ago? He repented even for adultery, put it all out on the table. Newt is sorry. He found God, and, you know, he's considering a run for the presidency. So this is just their routine. And so they run as radically strong pro-lifers. Like, I'll give you an example. Was it 4 years ago when Stephen Forbes ran?
I'm not sure on that.
Stephen Forbes, head of the Forbes publishing empire, he ran the strongest pro-life anti-abortion ads I'd ever seen from any Republican candidate for the nomination for president ever. And this year, now he didn't get the nomination, this year he's campaigning aggressively for Rudy Giuliani, who's radically pro-abortion.
Right.
So isn't that funny?
Last
election cycle, if Stephen Forbes would have done better, we would have had our Christian leaders tell us that he is truly pro-life. He's truly pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And here at Bob and Your Live and the Reverend Flip Benham and maybe Judy Brown and a handful of us would have been saying, no, he isn't. You're being lied to again. This is the normal routine. Haven't you learned anything? How many four-year cycles do you have to see before you actually learn anything?
Exactly.
So anyway, Senator Sam Brownback, he said the best thing in the debate last night. When he was asked about abortion for rape and incest, he said, that is wrong. The baby, a loving God, has created babies, and we need to provide the women love and support. It's only going to hurt the woman to kill that baby. And so that was the best thing in the debate. Although, remember, it's a Republican primary, so he is running to the right as a Christian pro-lifer above all else. That's what Steve Forbes did because he knew that's how to energize the base and increase your chance for getting the nomination. But this also, the same Sam Brownback, he carried National Right to Life's Fetal Pain Act, which shows he doesn't understand right and wrong. He doesn't have what it takes to lead a nation. He doesn't know that it's wrong to tell a mom, we'll give your baby painkiller so he doesn't feel the abortion. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's immoral. It's wicked. It's wrong.
Of course. And I just want to applaud you, Mr. Anyard, you know, just for just really getting the message out. And I want you to know that not only adults are listening to this show, but a lot of the youth. And we're coming to realize, you know, you got to take everything with a grain of salt what these politicians are saying, you know, especially about abortion.
Wow. Hey, Benjamin.
Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. Hey, Benjamin, thank you so very much for that encouraging comment.
Oh, guys,
May God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks. Bye. And also, Senator Brownback. Now, Paul Shank, right? He's one of the nation's leading pro-lifers. He was hired as a VP at the ACLJ by Jay Sekulow and Pat Robertson. And he said about Senator Sam Brownback that he is the gold standard of the pro-life movement. He's the gold standard. In other words, all pro-lifers should be willing to support him with everything they have unquestioningly because he's the gold standard. That's pretty good. Gold, you know, pure gold. That's pretty good. But what was it? 2 weeks ago, he said in a national debate that they were speaking of, for example, Rudy Giuliani, who's radically pro-abortion, and whether or not the Republican Party and the supporters of the Republican Party should disqualify a candidate who supports killing unborn children, say like Rudy Giuliani. And Senator Sam Brownback, the gold standard of the pro-life movement, he said, no, that wouldn't disqualify Rudy or, you know, any particular candidate for the support and the nomination of the party and to be president of the United States. No. Well, why is that, Sam? Why is that? Why would that not disqualify someone from deserving your support if they advocate the killing of innocent children? I mean, what would qualify? If advocating the killing of innocent children doesn't cross the line for you, Sam Brownback, of a politician who should not be supported, what would cross the line? What would cross the line? If he had a D after his name? Oh, if he had a D after his name, I'm not going to support him. But if he has an R after his name and he's extremely popular and he supports the killing of unborn children, I don't think he should be disqualified because we could get another R election victory. In another 15 years, going after a ban, maybe we'll have a new partial birth abortion ban, because now the pro-life movement realized partial birth abortion isn't banned, it's only regulated by 4 inches. So it was, you could deliver the baby up to the neck, now you could deliver him up to the navel. We could spend another 15 years, $200 million, and 20 million children killed, and we could get a ban up to the hips. That will not save a single baby, and we'll be told all the money and all the electioneering and the campaigning was worth it because now it's up to the hips. Eventually, we'll get it up to the knees. Okay, if you'd like to help with our open letter to Dr. James Dobson, please go to kgov.com or call us at 800-8-NYART, and Maranatha, what a great school.